Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a closer look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. See, as God's chosen people, we are called to represent Him to others. The way that Peter talks about this is that we are called out of darkness, right? And what he means is that we are called from spiritual death into spiritual life. This is very similar language to what Paul says is true of us in Ephesians chapter 2. We're called, Peter says, out of darkness into Jesus' marvelous light as a new way of life, as a part of God's covenant people, as a part of being in His family. And so in that way, we are called to be His ambassadors to the world around us. This is His royal priesthood. Paul says this way to the letter to the church in Colossae. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Colossians 3:12. After making a covenant with Abraham, promising to make his descendants into a great nation, we see how God chose Israel as His people to walk in His ways. Right? He says this in Exodus 19, "Now, if you obey me, fully keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests to me and a holy nation to me." This is what God says to Israel in Exodus 19. In the Old Testament, the priests were the only people who could approach God in the very specific way without fear of death after ritual cleansing. Flour, oil, and wine offerings were made before God, an unblemished year-old male lamb or animal sacrifice being brought before God Himself. The priest from the Levite tribe, specifically set aside by God, was the intermediary between God and a sinful people. This is the way that people were able to have a relationship with God. And I think it's helpful to pause for a moment and think about what your average Israelite living around the temple would have seen day in and day out. They would have seen at the very epicenter of their society, the tabernacle or the temple. And at the temple, they would have seen every day offerings being made, sacrifices being made. I mean, think about what that would sound like for a moment. You would hear the death of an animal dying in the place of the people. What would that smell like? Like, what would you experience as you watched what was happening in the temple? The overwhelming sense that you would see is that your sin demands death. But God in His kindness was not demanding your death, that He was allowing your sin in a sense to be transferred to a sacrifice who would die in your place. And there's something somewhat arbitrary about this, right? Like why a lamb? Why a dove? Why a bull? Like what is it about these things that can, like my sin can be transferred there? Well, as you keep reading the entirety of the biblical storyline, all of this we understand to be a foreshadow that our sin demands death. It demands death, but God in His kindness is not demanding ours. He is providing a sacrifice, and not a sacrifice that needs to be re-sacrificed on a daily basis, but a once and for all sacrifice in our place for our sin. And this is the work of Jesus on our behalf, who becomes our sacrifice. He steps in to become our sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus becoming our sacrifice. And in that way, as an ambassador, as a kingdom of priests, like 1 Peter is talking about, we go and show and tell the love of Jesus to the world around us, that those around us would come to see that while their sin demands death, God has made a way for them to approach through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that by faith in him, they too can have newness of life. Let's take a moment. I want to pray it up. And you might want to pause at the end of each one of these prayer points, just kind of reflecting and giving you yourself space to pray these things back. Number one, as one of God's chosen, prayerfully ask him to work through you, strengthening you at the right moment to reach someone else with the good news of Jesus. Number two, praise God right now in this moment for bringing you out of the darkness of sin into his glorious light. There is no sin too great to be forgiven, no fear of being judged by God, but you are brought out of darkness into his light. Number three, take a moment and practice gratitude, thanking Jesus for choosing God's will to be done, being the unblemished, perfect sacrifice, for loving us even to the point of death. Finally, let's talk about what it means to live this out. We don't want to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Take a moment to consider and thank God for the blessing of your eternal destination. Thank God for the blessing of the mission and repurposing of your life because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And think through, how does this impact your day today? You go forward. You go into the workplace, not trying to earn God's approval, not trying to show him that you are worthy of his approval, but you go and engage in the world around you because of God's affection for you. No longer have to strive for it. We live in it and celebrate his affection for us in Jesus. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.